Last week I preached on the pipeline. What's the pipeline from the past? And I got a text from Brother Dennis Sunday afternoon. He gave me the perfect title for that message. And I wished I'd have thought of it. But I talked about the pipeline from our past that's constantly flowing into our lives, delivering things that began years ago. The sowing and reaping. You know, sowing took place in the past, and now we reap what was sown. Or we are receiving from the pipeline as that valve is open. We're receiving things that have been in there for a long time, maybe, and coming. And so Dennis thought of a great title. What's in your pipeline? I love that. I just wished I'd have thought of it. So anyway, I wanted to say that because that's the title from last week. And if you missed it, you can get online and listen to it. But I love that. What's in your pipeline? So I think, well, what do you believe God for? What kind of sowing did you do? Now, some people may say, well, man, I sowed my wild oats. I'm not looking forward to receiving that. Well, that's the wonderful thing about it is you can come to God and say, shut that off, Lord. Be merciful to me and give me a new beginning. And God will shut that off. And so we don't get what we deserve. We don't reap everything that we sowed. And so we determine that by our submission to Him and our love for the Lord and our faith to God. So I'm excited about that. Today I want to talk to you about something similar to that, but it's a little different. I want to talk to you about two trends in our generation that's taking place. And I say this generation just to personalize it because really every generation experiences two major trends or flows. And this is a flow. And these two flows or these two trends, these two pathways move simultaneously. And sometimes they're not as obvious to the people who are not in the Lord or who are in the Word or walking in the Spirit. It's very possible for people who are not really in tune with God to not even see it and observe it. But there is definitely a flow that's taking place, two of them that are simultaneous. It's a pattern of motion. That's what a trend is. And in professionals, before the election on Tuesday, they were observing and studying the trends. We have polls, and the polls, you know, different polls indicate different things. But what the objective is in polling and surveys is to try to detect a trend before the big event. And big events like crises that like our country has had, whether it's on a personal level or on a national level, crises will sometimes accelerate the flow or the trends. The trends are always there, really. But crises, emergencies, tragedies, or blessing can accelerate the flow of those trends or pathways. And two particular trends that can be observed if we have the eye of the Word and we have that frame of reference that is given to us by the Word of God. We can observe them and we can understand them. And that's my purpose in this message today is to draw your attention to that which I think you will already know and you'll bear witness to. But just to bring it to your attention and remind you that we are living in a time that there are currents. We can call it a current. And sometimes it's an undertow, like a riptide. We're at the ocean just a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, and we're on the beach there in Seal Beach, and we could see the waves coming in. And then on the board, they would tell us when the low tide was, the time of the low tide, and that tide goes out. And there's a, you know, it's not a tsunami. Sometimes a tsunami, because of a crisis. Earthquake can cause a tsunami, and it's like one giant riptide that sucks it out. After coming in, there's one direction, and then there's another one immediately following, and it just brings destruction. It goes, takes everything that's loose out to sea. Riptides can be in the middle of normal waves coming in. The trend is coming in, and yet in the middle of the beach, there can be a space that something else is contrary. The flow is contrary. It's called a riptide. And it's very dangerous for swimmers or surfers to be caught in that riptide because it's too powerful. The flow is too powerful. And no matter how great you can swim, it will suck you out to the deep. and lifeguards and people who can have been trained, they know how to swim parallel to the beach and get out of that and get into normal and then get in the flow that comes this way. So you have two contrary trends or flows or currents in the ocean. And we didn't see any riptides while we were there, thank the Lord, but they're on guard for that. They're on guard for that. And it's kind of similar to what we have there in every generation. And I sense it happening now more than ever before, these two trends that are simultaneously moving, and the currents are powerful. The currents are powerful. And one trend that is established and certain and has more participants or victims than the other one. And this is the trend away from God. It's the flow. It's the current that will just bear up families and individuals, good people, bad people. And the current, like that tsunami, it just, you know, it may not be a tsunami sometimes. Maybe it's just the tide, which is normal. Low tide, okay. But then sometimes it's a tsunami flow out. But these are powerful things. And more people are, I would say, victimized by that flow or current that will pick them up and just take them somewhere that they may not want to go. And the Bible indicates that there are more people who are in that flow, especially during time of national crises. There's more people that are flowing in that direction. And it's a downward direction. It's a low tide. It's a tsunami. It's a movement that can carry you whether you want to go or not. The second trend is more powerful, really. It's more powerful, but there's fewer people involved in it. And that's the upward trend, the upward movement. That at a time of crisis, there will be a smaller segment of society that actually, just by the grace of God and by their willful faith, that can jump in a flowing river, a tide of movement that is upward in its mobility. It's an upward tide towards the things of God. And these things coexist. The sad thing about hell, and interesting thing about heaven, if we want to illustrate these two trends, thinking about an ultimate destination, or where's the tide going? I mean, where's the flow going? Where does the trend end up? Well, basically, prophetically, the trend ends in damnation and glory. And so whether you're talking about heaven or you're talking about hell, those two destinations are the endpoints of a trend. It's not just hell or heaven. There is a way to heaven. There is a way to hell. In Luke 16, Jesus gave a story about the rich man and Lazarus. And you know the story of how the rich man died and was buried. And his soul went to hell in torment. Lazarus, who was a poor beggar, he died. And the angel came and carried his soul to Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort and peace and relief. Well, the rich man cried out for Abraham to come and dip his finger in water and cool his tongue because he was in such fiery torment. Abraham said that's impossible because there's a gulf that's fixed between damnation and comfort, Abraham's bosom. And one cannot go from one place to the other. Once there, that's it. Can't come out. And when the rich man realized that there was not going to be any relief for him, there's not going to be any flow, there's not going to be any more trend or tide, he had arrived. He had a second request, and the second request is really an interesting thing where he says, "Would you send Lazarus to my home? I have five brothers, that he might go to them, lest they come." And that word come is used in that story, lest they come to this place of torment. Well, Abraham said, they have the word of God, they have Moses. And the rich man said, yes, but if somebody would be raised from the dead, like Lazarus, if he would be raised from the dead and go talk to my brothers, surely they would listen and they would not come to this place. And Abraham said, if they don't believe the word of God, neither will they believe though one were to be raised from the dead. And he shut it down, and that was the final word. But in that story, we see that whether you are in comfort, like Lazarus went, or whether you're in hell, there was a journey that got you there. It's not just heaven and hell. There is a way. There is the coming. There is a movement that brings you to those two opposite destinations. And that illustrates that what is happening, and we don't think of it maybe in terms of heaven and hell. We look at trends. But if you look at the biblical example of that, it represents two directions that are powerful forces that move people, sometimes unconsciously or subconsciously. They don't even know it's happening until it's too late. And the man that's in hell being tormented does not, he knows he's not going to get out. He knows there's not going to be a relief. But he doesn't want his brothers to travel and end up in hell. So it looks like, you know, as we look at society and we look at the world, it's sometimes hard to see two opposite directions simultaneously. It's very confusing as we look at the world, as we look at elections, as we look at national trends or whatever. It's like a conglomerate that you know there are saved people and you know there are lost people, but we interact. And there are people who claim to be Christians and don't know the Lord. And they're all mingled in with us. Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares are growing together. And you don't really sometimes know which is which. And he said, let them grow together. Let them grow together. So we see this mixture, a vortex of good and evil, up and down, saved, unsaved, wicked people, good people. And a lot of varieties and different shades and tones there. It's just hard to judge. Sometimes we know people and we don't even know if they're saved. Someone said, is old Joel, does he know the Lord? Is he saved? And someone responded and said, well, sort of. Sort of. Sort of saved? Yeah, he's sort of a Christian. And we're not the judge of the heart. So there are people, I think, that maybe, you know, they find the Lord, and maybe other people don't know anything about it for a while until they share it with their mouth. But it's hard to look and see what I'm telling you today. What I'm telling you is the revealed truth of God's word that you must. And if you know the word and you begin to look at the world around you, you'll start seeing it, and you'll say, you know, you'll bear witness that yeah, there's two directions, two flows, two currents, leading in two opposite directions. Jesus talked about. There's a way. And you know what a way is? A way is a road. And it's a path. It's where people travel on. And that's what he said. There is a path, a narrow and straight path that leads to eternal life. And few there be that go in that. But broad is the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And he says many people go that way. But it's not just a road. It's a current that will actually bear you along and move you in that direction. It's a trend. It's a current. In Daniel chapter 11, which refers to the Antichrist that is to come, we see this and in this principle in a lot of different scriptures. But I'd like to read a portion of that, and I want you to just see the example of the principle that I'm talking to you about. Because this is talking about our future. This is coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. And in Daniel chapter 11, and we'll just start at verse 28, read a little bit of here. He's talking about the Antichrist, okay? Then shall he return. We have this on the, yeah, there you go, right there on the screen. Then shall he return into his land with great riches. Notice he returns, he's moving. And his heart shall be against the holy covenant. There's the trend. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. You see the movement there by the Antichrist. At the time appointed, he shall return. And come, there's that word again, come toward the south. But it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return. There's a lot of movements in the nations right now. A lot of movement back and forth, up and down. Kings come and kings go. Rulers are here and then they're no more. Well, the Bible says in the last days, that'll be even right up to the time of Christ coming. Even the Antichrist is going to be moving and traveling. Development. Trends. And it says, and have indignation against the holy covenant. Anger, rejection, resistance to the holy covenant of God. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. There's that one trend that we talked about. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 24. And so you see movement, you see development among the nations that leads right up to the climax of Armageddon and the second coming of Christ. And I want to tell you today that we are living in a world where these two trends, I believe, have been accelerated. That the flow is accelerating even now as we speak. And so the consequences and the implications are very serious. And it says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant. Notice the path to Armageddon. It's not just Armageddon. There's a development that leads to Armageddon. A trend. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Going to be tricky. A lot of complimenting and back slapping and handshaking. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. There's the other trend. Woo! Hallelujah. You must believe not only in this evil flow, current, riptide that's sucking people out to destruction. But you must know that you coexist with such a condition and that you got to find your own flow and you got to have something that's more powerful to flow you away from that in the opposite direction. You cannot swim against this. You cannot do it with your own efforts or your own abilities or being smart. You have to find the flow and get into the deep and let it carry you into victory. You cannot do this on your own. You can't swim against the riptide. Those that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So you have exploits on in two directions. The Antichrist doing exploits. The Bible talks about miracles of the Antichrist and the false prophet. Causing things to happen that's going to cause the world to follow and move. Then armies have to travel to get to the Valley of Jezreel for Armageddon. There are roads that will lead into Jezreel. We have seen that. We've been on some of those roads. We've been on the high ground to look at the Valley of Armageddon. On one side you see Nazareth, the home of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look on the other side of the mountain and it flows right into Armageddon. It's called the precipice. If you go to Israel, you want to go there and visit the mountaintop called the precipice. One side, it flows to the home of Jesus. The other side flows to Armageddon. And you don't even have to move. You can stand right there. You look this way, there's Nazareth. You look this way, there's the Valley of Armageddon. It's an amazing thing. I stood there and just tried to comprehend where I was at. This was the place that they brought Jesus to throw him off the cliff. When he stood up in Nazareth and proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me." And they took him to the brow of the hill and was going to throw him off the cliff. We were standing right there where, and he escaped out of their midst. Little did they know that as they tried to kill Jesus, right on the other side is where this is all going to end up. But there's a path. It's a path of history. And every generation, it's not just ours, but every generation participates, whether they know it or not, in the trends and the flows of prophetic history as it develops, leading to a particular destination. And it leads either to the kingdom of the millennium, or it leads to the in the direction of total destruction. Maybe another couple of verses. "They that do wickedly against the covenant, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword, and by the flame, and by captivity, and by the spoil many days." That's the crises. A lot of crises develop in the last days. And what these crises will do is accelerate the flow in both directions. So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against. So there's two things there. There's two trends, two flows. And they're both supernatural, and they're both more powerful than you are. You can't change it. You're not more powerful than the devil. You're not more powerful than the demonic spirits that are operating. Only through the name of Jesus, only through your connection to the Messiah, Christ Jesus of Nazareth, only as you follow him and hook your wagon to his, will you flow out of this mess and end up on Mount Zion. Hallelujah. It's a real place. It's a real place. And as these destinations are arrived at, it will be too late to reverse the flow or to change from one current to another. These are final destinations. As a tree lies, so, or as a tree falls, so shall it lie. I mean, there's just a day of reckoning that it's the books are closed. It's it. That's it. And so for us living today in this world, and we've not died yet, thank God, and we're still here, and we must be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We have to know where our strength comes from and how to move in this world. And we can move if we get in the current of God. We can be borne along by the Holy Ghost and by the Word of God and by the presence of God. And He can make us overcome. He can make us a success. He can make us victorious. He determines the victory that we have to have in these last days. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them. This is what I don't like. This is the warning I give to you today for you and your family and for your friends or whatever, for you not to be afraid, but for you to be sober-minded. We have a job to do, and that's to rescue the perishing. And to rescue people, you have to realize that it's not just them. It's the flow in which they are found in. It's the flow that's carrying them into destruction. We have to understand the context of the wicked if we're ever to win the lost for Christ. Some of them of understanding shall fall. There are people who actually teach that's impossible. Calvinists, Reformed folks, they don't even believe it's possible. Some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end. Do you see the path, the flow, the current, the movement to the time of the end? And we're not at the end, thank the Lord. Well, we could say we're not at the end. Oh, no. It depends on which flow you're in. I'm sometimes I'm ready for the flow to end. I want to get there. I, you know, Come, Lord Jesus. That's what John, he saw both flows. And you know what he said? Come, Lord, quickly. Amen. Come on. The last words of John. Come, Lord, quickly. After he saw both. Let's come. Let's do it. Let's get it on. Let's get the show on the road. I'm tired of the movement and the counter movements. Some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. In 2 Corinthians 4:16 it says, which cause we faint not. A lot of people faint when they get caught in the riptide. They don't have the strength. And they just give out. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's that flow. Hallelujah. You can have an experience of corruptible. This corruptible, Bible calls this corruptible, shall put on incorruption. Now this corruptible, in 1 Corinthians 15, this corruptible cannot inherit incorruption. It can't. This body cannot inherit immortality. But it says later in 15, but this corruptible shall put on incorruption. It can't inherit it, but God can make it happen. The last trump shall sound. We shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye. It's a miracle. It's an interruption of the flow of nature that says, even in our bodies, we're moving towards corruption and dissolution, breakdown and death. And Paul encourages the church to remind them, but there is another flow. There is another flow. Inward man is renewed day by day. It's possible. Now, a lot of people are not experienced that. A lot of people go the direction of their body, that their soul and their spiritual life reflects the aging of the body. And that's not God's will. We have to deal with the natural flow of history. We have to deal with the natural flow of the physical life. We have to deal with the natural flow of physical bodily age and deterioration. And we got to have an alternate plan. We have to be aware of this other flow of God that allows there to be a direction that leads us to perfection. Actually, we shall be like Him when we shall see Him as He is. But it's a journey to that point of glory. And we're just traveling right now, whether you know it or not. We're moving. It's not that the Spirit is moving. We're moving. A wonderful thing. 2 Timothy 3 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. There's that trend. There's that pattern. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And there's no greater example of that pattern or trend than when you look at the political world around us. Unfortunately, wicked men arise to the highest positions of authority and rulership in this world. And sometimes God allows the godly to rise to those positions as well. But generally speaking, the nations are under the authority of the devil. That Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. When he comes, he will destroy him with the brightness of his coming. There is somebody to destroy. When Jesus comes, he has to destroy. He has to break stuff up. He has to bust in. He has to kill people. He has to destroy armies of the nations of the world that are gathering to try to shoot him when he's coming out of the cloud. Can you believe such stupidity? But you see that stupidity now in the actions and the movements of the nations, kicking Jesus out of the schools, rejecting Christ, opposing the people of God, opposing the Jews and opposing the Christians, persecuting them, being pro-Hamas, anti-Israel. Can you believe it? In America. It's a flow and it's moving. they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And evil men will wax worse and worse. It's an ever-increasing movement towards destruction. And the earmarks are deception, people believing things that are not true. The leaders are deceived, and then therefore they turn and deceive the populace, especially in a republic, in a democracy. But verse 14, look at verse 14. But continue, there's that flow, that movement. But continue thou in the things which you've learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Keep on keeping on is what my grandma used to say. Keep on keeping on. My grandmother understood that we're on a journey, and it's important how you travel and where you're going and who you hook your wagon to. We're like a caboose on a big old train. We saw a lot of trains heading out west and coming back, and they'd be riding right along beside of the I-40 sometimes. I'd try to pass them up, try to get ahead of them. And sometimes just forever, as far as you can see, that train. And I think, man, what kind of power does it take to move that many railroad cars all loaded down with heavy stuff? And sometimes there were three or four engines moving that mile-long train. So I'm looking for the caboose. I grew up with cabooses. I'm telling you, some of those trains don't have a caboose. But they do have a last car, and I noticed that it's not the caboose that I traditionally think of in my mind. If you buy a train set, you're going to have a little red caboose on the end of that. And it's just pulled along. It has no power. And these trains have car after car after car after car loaded down, and yet the powerful engines ahead are able to bear them along and make them mobile. And movement. And some of those, I clocked them at 65 miles an hour or more. Moving. I'm just in my little car with Jenna and me, and we're moving at 70 and 75 miles an hour. And it's all kind of self-contained. You know, they got a little motor there, a little car, and two of us. And then I look over there and I see, this is a magnificent display of power. And I'm reminded of the power of Christ that will move us along to the destination that He has planned for us. I don't want to say that it's to be easy, but it's to be a movement that is based on His power and not our own. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the power of His might. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trends, the current, the riptides. We have to stand in His power. In Isaiah 59, so they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And that's what we tap into. Surrendering and just letting the tide take you out, take you in. The waves work in the other direction. Boy, they just bring those surfers right into the shore. Just powerful waves. So here we're looking at, oh boy, it's confusing. It's confusing. Everybody mingled together in society in this world, and it's hard to delineate the differences sometimes. But I want to tell you, as we're living and approaching the last days, we're going to see more of a separation. More of a separation. It's called polarization. The mushy middle is being increasingly cleaned out. And people are being borne along in these two different tides of direction. A bunch of them, because of entropy and gravity, most will fall. And we see the separation, and some climbing higher and higher day by day. Inward man is renewed day by day. And we see this. And that's what is happening in our world today, and in America in particular. We're seeing people go crazy. and falling for the spirit of the Antichrist already. He's not even here, but they're falling for the spirit of Antichrist. They've already prepped themselves for the mark of the beast. They've already practiced compromise. They've practiced leaving church. They practice wickedness and ungodliness and deception and seduction and rationalizing wicked behavior, even to the point that the churches now can embrace it. I want to tell you something. There is an alternative to the flow of this sewer that's taking place in our world today that leads to hell. It's the flow of the Holy Ghost. It's the flow. But to go up, you know, it's different than the flow down. To flow up, well, there's got to... You got to flap your wings pretty hard to go up. But the Bible says that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. There's that renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as of eagles. Hallelujah. They shall mount up with wings. Wings of eagles. And they'll run and not be weary. And they shall run, not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So we have to resist the fall. We have to resist nature. We have to resist culture. We have to resist society's natural flow into the sewer. We have to resist. You have to be proactive to be spiritual. Let me tell you, spirituality is not like falling off a log. You can't relax and be spiritual. You got to fight to go up. You got to flap some wing. You got to have some power. You got to have wing. You've got to have something to defy the decadent gravity of our age. You can't be lazy and make it. You have to be like a lifeguard that knows about riptides and low tide and work around it and be successful and not only save yourself, but you are there on the beach to save other people that will be destroyed by this flow out into the abyss. You are there to rescue them and get them out of that tide and get them on solid ground. Hallelujah. We have to resist the devil. Submit to yourselves, therefore, to God, James says, and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. 1 Peter said, resist, talking about the devil. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There's two directions there. So you resist it. You say no to the devil. You say no to your flesh. You have pain in your body. You said, I'm on a separate path in my body. Society just wears you down and you're discouraging and all things that you see around. You have to be willing to resist that and find yourself in the Word of God that promises you victory in Jesus' name. And get into that flow. Because I tell you what, this is greater than the flow of the devil. And the Lord says that. John says that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So for which cause we faint not, the Word of God says. 2 Corinthians 4. For which cause we faint not. We faint not. We have things that perish, but we don't faint. We're renewed day by day. Yea, and all that will live godly. Evil men will do this, wax worse, being deceived, but just continue. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're fighting the fight of faith. Proactive. 1 Timothy 6 said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We have to look up. Look at the direction you want to go in. I want to go up. It's easier to go down, but I have to go up. I want to tell you, I'm leaving this world behind. I'm going up. So I need to look in the direction of which I will eventually go and which I am traveling even now. When these things begin to come to pass... That's the flow. That's the movement. He says, look up. And lift up your heads. Jesus said this in Luke 21, for your redemption draweth nigh. See that movement, that process of time, the pipeline concept. Things are flowing. Things are moving. There are things coming your way. And these are wonderful things if we tap into that pipeline, not the other. I will lift up mine eyes, the determination, the proactive choice of your will. God gave you a will and you must utilize it. You must choose this day whom you will travel with. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And then last of all, Psalms 123:1. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. In the heavens. Hallelujah. We can fly. You just flap those wings hard enough. You can go up. You can go up. You can resist gravity. You can whip gravity. We've learned that everywhere. We know how to do it. We know how to do it with spacecraft. We can do it spiritually as well. We can soar like the eagles above these things of this world. Christ is able, the Bible says, to make you stand. He is our victory. He is our flow and the stream of life. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. I'm going somewhere and so are you. And it's a wonderful place. But the journey is important. You don't just arrive there without a trip. And we're on a trip, let me tell you. Wonderful things are happening and bad things are happening. And you'll see that until the Antichrist comes, until Armageddon, until Christ comes back. You're just going to see all kinds of confusion. But you just remember, with the eyes of faith, you can see God is separating sheep and the goats. Sheep and goats are not going to end up together. I want to tell you, the wheat and tares grow together until that day, and then separation. And so with the people of faith, we can be wise. We can see it. And we can understand the flow of history, the flow of prophecy, and realize this is bigger than we are. Both paths are bigger and stronger than we are. But by faith, we choose every day, I am going to flow with God this day. And just don't bite off more than you can chew. Just take a day at a time. Every day, choose you this day whom you will serve. And tomorrow you need to do it again and again and again. Today, I'm going to serve God.